Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I doubt Dwight David Eisenhower really had an understanding of the full implications of the policy when he put it forth, but it has changed the nature of this country. When he established the interstate highway system, things changed a whole lot. You could get from point A to point B a lot faster than you used to be able to, but other aspects of it changed also. In 1985, I had an internship in Denver, Colorado, and so I was traveling from western Pennsylvania into Colorado, and I made that trip three times, and I went across Interstate 80. Now, for those who have traveled across Interstate 80, you might understand that there are some hours that take longer than others. It's approximately a 24-hour trip from Pennsylvania to Colorado. And the longest hours were in Nebraska.
Go Husker.
Now, if you had to evaluate the state of Nebraska based on the interstate highway system and a drive across there, you might be led to believe, I'm sorry, that Nebraska is a wretched, desolate state. But if you get to know the people of Nebraska, you know that that can't possibly be true. Because what the interstate system has done is really kind of separated the traveler a lot from the places that surround the road. It used to be that there was this romantic, nostalgic sort of attachment between the driver and the road. That you take these trips, go through these quaint towns, see these different things, and you would really get your kick. Thank you. I was counting on that, you know. And it changed things forever. Now, I don't think Jeremiah ever got his kick on Route 66. But I would imagine that Jeremiah probably grew up like any other ancient Middle Eastern boy doing those sorts of things that they did, because we don't have any information saying that he didn't lead an otherwise normal life. But that normality changed when God came calling, telling him it's time to do some grown-up work. And of course, the great response is, well, wait a minute, I'm just a kid. He says, don't tell me you're just a kid. I'll tell you what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it, who you're supposed to talk to, and what you need to say. And with that, Jeremiah's life changed radically. He wasn't the first person we had within the biblical witness that talks about the experience of God chatting it up with them. Adam and Eve had conversations in the garden, strolling along. Abraham talked to strangers and found the voice of God. Noah emphatically was told to go do something that was seemingly ridiculous in building a big boat in the middle of the desert. Isaiah heard the voice of God in the stillness. The disciples heard the voice of God through their friend and their leader. And Lori Barlow heard the voice of God in the middle of the night. Lori Barlow was a financial advisor, a highly successful one, big salary, doing all kinds of things. And then one night, as she tells it, she woke up at 3:32 in a start, just up. And at that moment, she knew that her life was going to be about creating transitional housing. Figure that one out. And it wasn't a voice, wasn't a bright light, wasn't anything like that. It was just simply waking up and knowing that this was what she was called to do. And so she did it. On Route 66. In Flagstaff. At Motel 66. She rented that hotel. She formed a nonprofit called A New Living. And she began to reconstruct Hotel 66. A rundown old hotel that had fallen into disrepair, that was mostly made up of drug addicts and other people as the clientele. Once they were removed, she hired somebody to come in and was able to live there for free and be able to do handiwork. To be able to create a scenario where families were able to move in to this transitional housing, to be able to save some money up to give them the opportunity then to move out into the world, to either purchase their own place or to be able to rent something in a more normal sort of apartment or condo setting. The voice of God, Lori Barlow. When have you heard the voice of God? It's kind of a silly notion if you think the voice of God is going to come to you out of a bright light shining down with a booming male baritone voice saying, "Dave, I want you to go out and fix this problem for me." Because after we change the sheets, we begin to question our sanity. But rather, I think the voice of God comes to us in a variety of different ways through a variety of different people. The voice of God is that which enters within our lives and into our brains and into our souls and into our hearts and begins to tug at us and poke at us and make us understand that there is this thing that we have been set aside to do. This one particular thing at this one given moment. For people like Lori Barlow, it's one large project that becomes nearly the consumption of her life. But for others of us, it's little bits and pieces of things that we do on a regular basis. Things that we're called to do for a short period of time. Things we're called to do at a very given moment. Things that we're called to do to be able to change some aspect of life within this world. But it's there, and you know it's there because you feel it. You sense it. It tugs and prods and pokes your consciousness. It bothers you. It keeps you up at night. It makes you wonder why it is that you need to do whatever this thing might be. And when it begins, inevitably, the excuses begin. That battle we have within ourselves, trying to talk ourselves out of doing the thing that we know we should be doing, saying we don't have enough time, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough energy, I'm too old, I'm too young, I can't talk right, I don't have the wherewithal to do this, I have other things to do, my life is comfortable, don't bother me, God, leave me alone because I'm retired. But you see, this relationship we have with God, this poking and this prodding that goes on within our lives, doesn't have an expiration date. Our faith calls us each and every day to do new and exciting things, to be able to move out and respond to those things that God places before us and lays on our lap, those things that tap us in the brain and say, "You need to take care of this." And as we begin to accumulate those excuses of why it is that we shouldn't, couldn't, or don't want to be doing whatever it is that God has called us to do, is the overbearing understanding. If not us, then who? And if not now, then when? God comes into our lives and He captivates us. He grabs us because we are His children. And He knows the possibilities of what it is that we can do so much better than we ourselves. And within that, God calls us to task, placing before us the opportunity to do things that we never thought possible, placing before us the quest of setting out and doing things that we may never have considered doing or certainly don't want to do. But nonetheless, that call is there within our lives. That voice is ringing in our head, whether it be in the form of a family member, a friend, a complete stranger, or a voice in the middle of the night, helping us understand what it is that God calls us to do within our lives, where it is that God calls us to be, and how it is that God calls us to interact with humanity, whether it be within the confines of living water or out within the community or in a variety of different ways. Utilizing those things that we've been blessed with in a way that allows us to accomplish those tasks that God has placed before us. Because we all have been called. Each and every day of our lives, called by God to be able to carry on in a variety of different ways, called by God to be able to go out within this world, to be able to proclaim our faith through what we say, but more profoundly, I believe, in what we do. Shaping the essence of our beings to be the servants God has called us to be. And so when you hear that voice, when you get done coming up with the excuses, begin to think about how it might be that you can make the impossible possible. Think about what you might do to fulfill that call that God has placed before you. Because those calls that we receive them because God knows that we are the one to see it through, the person to get it done, the individual needed to see that God's work here in this place is done with our hands. And so when your heart begins to feel heavy, when your conscience truly seems troubled, when you feel that there's something out there that you have been called to do, a task that you've been asked to accomplish, understand the voice of God within your lives. Understand that it's just not people like Noah and Moses and Abraham and Jeremiah who are called. But God reaches down to each of us, calling us out of our places sometimes of comfortability and putting us in situations that we might not rather be, but calling us to do the work that only we can do. If not us, then who? And if not now, then when? Amen.